Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Perspectives, the Cedar Creek Midweek Podcast, where we will be discussing the past weekend's teachings. With me in the Cedar Creek studios are Pastor Rob Gerber and Pastor Jason Cans, who both spoke this past weekend. Thank you very much for being here with us.
Good Indeed. To be here.
Yep.
So this week wraps up the five-part series on Everyday Value Menu that we've been doing here for the past 5 weeks. So this is Daily Rhythms, the weekend's teachings. Rob, you spoke on Friday night. Jason, you spoke on Sunday morning. Would you each be willing to give like a 1 or 2 minute summary of your teachings?
Sure. I'll start. I basically said this, these daily rhythms, what are they? Well, it's kind of the habits and routines that we have in our life, and everybody has them. They're things that we do. Sometimes they're just on purpose. Sometimes they just happen by accident. Sometimes they're natural, but all of us have them. We have these things that we kind of do every day. They are driven by priority, whether we think about it or not. We do the things that are most important to us, and we, if we're going to let something slide, it's the things that are less important to us. So these daily rhythms are driven by priority, and again, whether they're intentional or not, they kind of form the background of our lives, and it's this whole idea about the Everyday Value Menu is these small things that we do consistently that over time become a big deal. And these daily rhythms, these habits and routines that we have certainly are a big part of that. And then I got into what are good rhythms to have, and I kind of kept it big picture, and I said in three different main categories, I guess, we need to have good rhythms in relationships. Are we spending time regularly with God, with our family, with our friends? Are we building relationships as a normal pattern of our life? Second was responsibilities, our work and our chores. Are we finishing the things that are in front of us? Is that part of our daily routine? And finally, relaxation, hobbies, sleep, play. We need to let that be a good pattern. God created us to need that. And so having those things as a regular pattern in our life is important.
All right. Mine was fairly similar to that. I think that I started out by talking about the idea that God is a God of rhythm, and we see that really throughout the Bible right away from page one. Mm-hmm. In the creation account, God established rhythm. And then went on, I think, similar to Rob, where I talked about day-to-day rhythms, some things that may seem more spiritual, things like quiet times, prayer, but also those day-to-day sorts of things like meals and prayer and sleep, relationships. All of those things are important rhythms that we have. They happen, I think, sometimes without conscious awareness that we're engaged in rhythmic activity. But all of those things, I believe, can be done to glorify God. And that was one of the big points I really camped on, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat, whether you drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And then I kind of touched near the end on this concept of sloppy rhythms and also intention, and kind of looked at those two things, walked through my typical rhythms, and kind of went with that. So,
all right. Very good. Well, thank you both for that. For our listeners, if you haven't heard either or both of those teachings, they are available on the website or wherever you found this podcast feed. Just look a little ways back. Rob's teaching from Friday night and Jason's teaching from Sunday morning are both available, and I recommend that you listen to both of them. So I really liked, Jason, you just mentioned sleep, and Rob, you said you talked about rest as well. I feel bad bringing this up since we're recording this at 6 a.m. and I took some of that away from both of you, but I really liked the point that you made, Jason, about how, you know, we never talk about sleep in the church, but it's such a big part of our lives and it's a big part of our rhythms, and mm-hmm. It kind of sets the course for a lot of our days and everything. I don't really have a specific question related to that. I just thought it was really fun that you brought it up, and a good thing to think about.
Yeah, I think that sometimes we get this idea that there's something righteous about not sleeping, and that's just simply not the case. And again, Psalms, I mentioned two verses from Psalms, I think one from Psalm 4, and then there was another one, I think Psalm 127, but God gives his beloved sleep. Sleep is a gift from God, and it reminds us that we are not in control of the universe, and that's a good thing for us to know.
Yeah, I think that we could do a whole message, mm-hmm. I think, on sleep, because I really think that it's a big deal. I mean, physically, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. You don't sleep well, your body doesn't do well. And I think you're right, spiritually and emotionally. I mean, mm-hmm. I've just learned that if I wake up in the night, everything seems hard in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. It's just too hard to think about. But if you sleep and in the morning, you really do have a different perspective. Spiritually, I think you're right. It's a reminder, hey, I'm not in charge. I really think that God created us to need sleep for a reason, and it's a big deal. And I think that if a person was going to think, okay, I'm looking at the daily rhythms of my life, but I don't know where to start, that would be a very good place to start. Just indeed. It's simple. Okay, am I getting enough sleep? Am I getting it at the right time? Huh. Do I want to do anything different? I think that's really. It's so foundational, and I think we miss it. And I think maybe our culture doesn't like it because, well, I got too much to do, or there's mm-hmm. too many opportunities. But yeah.
Yeah.
You got more than you bargained for there, Josh, when you asked about sleep. I think it's a big deal.
Well, and I just want to expand a little bit on that, too, now that we're on this topic.
Here we go.
You know, if you think 100 years ago, you didn't have the opportunity to stay awake all night on the internet. Or watching Netflix or even reading, because your candles were probably precious or your lamps were precious. I mean, and so there was probably a greater opportunity for sleep. We have this constant ambient light if we live in town, mm-hmm. even if you live outside of town now, that just changes that dynamic.
Sure.
And but it's good for us to give thought to.
Yeah. And some, you know, and so we can get crazy on both ends of this. It's, you know, when you're young, you think you don't need sleep at all. And so, well, if I get, you know, I got to be up tomorrow morning for school, but if I stay up till 2, I can still get, you know, 4 hours of sleep. You know, and you can maybe not die on that, but you're not going to do well. When we're older, we can get perhaps a little bit legalistic. Like if I don't even talk to me after 9 o'clock because I'm going to sleep and don't. So, you know, we can get crazy on all ends of this, but I think that it's just one of those things that everybody's body's a little bit different. I mean, I just know that I'm best in the morning, and so I like to get up early, but I also know that I really need to function well. I need about 7.5 hours of sleep-ish. And so if I'm going to get up at 5, I got to work the math backwards, and I got to go to bed by 9:30. And if I don't, and that may seem, oh gosh, why do you want to live your life so structured? It's not that structured. It's just this daily rhythm. It's just recognizing that there are patterns that we have to, you're going to sleep sometime. And so the issue is, are you doing it well or not?
Yeah. I had it just last week. I decided I was going to shut my eyes and just listen to God for 10 minutes. And 20 minutes later, I woke up and... I mean, and that was because I hadn't slept well the night before. So there's something about redeeming that sleep.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think about when Elijah, you know, was, he had just challenged the prophets of Baal. Remember that story? Mm-hmm. And he was, outran Ahab back to Jerusalem. Ahab was in his chariot. And if you read the story, it seems like Elijah outran him, outran the horse. And then Jezebel's all mad at him, and he takes off into the desert. And he's all bent out of shape, and God says, lay down and sleep. Mm-hmm. And he did. Mm-hmm. He lay down and slept. And then he woke up and was going to get going again. God said, no, here, eat this. Okay, lay down and sleep some more. And he did. And then, and so God understands this stuff. God made us to need it. And so we're wise to look at it. And we're doing our part here by putting people to sleep with all this talk about sleep.
So. Yeah, I think we've now spent almost 5 minutes on this. I actually want to keep going a little bit.
I'm
going to
take a nap.
I just think it's really interesting what you said about how, you know, how your attitude toward it changes throughout your life, like as a daily rhythm. It's probably going to be, it's going to look different for every person by necessity, but also by kind of life stage. Like
sure.
In the last 9 months, sleep has become a much more valuable commodity in my house than, you know, maybe it used to be. And I try to give my 9-month-old daughter as many lectures on the value of sleep as I can, and she's not a good listener.
She's not buying it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that comes through.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's one of the things that I said too in the message, is that our daily rhythms changed by different things. And one of them is season of life. Season of life right. very much affects and sometimes dictates our daily rhythms. And sleep is one of those. When you got a little one, you know, that your sleep patterns are going to be changed and there's nothing you can do about it. And so that's just part of it too, is learning how to adjust on the fly a little bit. And
yeah. All right. Well, I guess we can probably move on from sleep. But it is kind of a segue into one of the questions that I was thinking about as we're getting ready for this podcast. Mark Anderson, one of the other pastors, or the other pastor, I guess, sends out a discussion guide for small groups every week. And one of the questions that he had on his discussion guide is, are there things that you notice, or are there things that help you notice what God is doing? And I liked that question as we kind of think about this particular teaching and the series as a whole on the Everyday Value Menu, that, like, you know, whether it's sleep or whether it's other everyday things, I feel like for me personally, I'm pretty decent at doing them and structuring them and getting into the habits, but I don't always see the spiritual side of them. Mm-hmm. Like when we talk about sleep, I can tell you what the value of sleep is to me and how it helps me, mm-hmm. but I don't think of it as a spiritual thing. Are there things that help you? Like, you both seem like that's a strength of yours, is kind of finding God in the everyday. Are there things that help you with that?
Well, I know for me that one of the things that has helped me has been an intentional slowing down. Hmm. Dallas Willard is known for saying that spiritual growth, one of the most important things you can do is ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Hmm. And that we go through seasons where we're busy, but are we slowing down enough to actually take notice of what God is up to? So for me, that is a very big piece, is actually understanding that God is everywhere present. I mean, if we are willing to slow down and look, we're more likely to see his action.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Something I do, I think, that really helps me is to work hard at being thankful. Mm-hmm. So when I do recognize something, like going to sleep, I mean, there was a time in my life where that was, you know, going to bed was a big deal. And I got into this habit of just saying, thanks, God, I'm grateful for a bed. I can stretch out. So, you know, this isn't a given, and I'm just thankful for this. Yeah. And if you learn to be thankful about little things in your life, I think what happens is it brings God right into it, because it's not just this thing. No, this is right from the hand of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And my goodness, God, you gave this thing to me, and I'm seeing you right here in the moment. And if I do that in little times, then you begin to develop that habit of seeing God in other things as well. So thankfulness, I think, is a big thing.
I mean, the other thing for me is having started writing poetry. I mean, that's partly what poets do, is they pay attention.
Sure.
You know, and there's a poet, Mary Oliver, who is very well known for this. She says, you don't need a glorious sunset to notice the action of God. Just look at the weeds in your yard. If you're willing to pay attention to them, you can see amazing things if you just look.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's helpful. Those are both good pieces of advice, or those are all good pieces of advice. Mm-hmm. You look like you had something else you wanted to add there, right?
I was going to say this one thing I've done, and I didn't do this. Another thing I've done that's helped me, that really is a daily rhythm, is I discovered at some point that, you know, I'm real faithful, and I have been for years with my morning quiet time, get up, mm-hmm. read, and pray. Do that. It's excellent. But then I would get to the end of the day, and I'd look back and think, gosh, Lord, how much during the day did I talk to you? And mm-hmm. I did, but it would seem like, well, okay, we spent all this time together in the morning, and then I was kind of gone all day, and now here I am. And so I just decided, oh, I'm gonna carve out times in my day where I'm, just as part of my schedule, I'm going to talk to God. And it wouldn't be long. A lot of times it's 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes or something, but I'm just going to, at this time, I'm going to stop and I'm going to talk to God. And that's really helpful for me because, again, when you stop and look for God, what you discover is he's not far away. Mm-hmm. He's just right here.
Amen.
And he's right here all the time. the issue is just, like you said, slowing down enough to look for them. So I just built it into my schedule. I'm a list guy. I live my life by lists, and other people are different, but I would just put it on my list, you know, pray. Sure. And it would be 3 minutes, but it would be very good for me.
I actually used to set an alarm on my phone that would just say, stop. And, you know, look around. And it would be a reminder for just a few moments. Mm-hmm. Just stop and pay attention.
Yeah.
And
it's a rhythm. It's that stuff we get into. It's just those habits, those routines that we get into that are so good. And that's, developing these habits of just seeing the Lord, just looking for him.
Right.
So that might be, some of that might kind of already be an answer to this next thought that I had, but that's at least a good jumping off point into getting to that. So you both, Rob, you just kind of said, you know, you're kind of a list guy, and Jason, you know, you set alarms on your phone and you're trying to remember to pay attention. It seems like there are people who are not as wired that way. There are people who don't tend to naturally impose as much structure on their lives, or maybe they want to but they can't. You know, I was thinking about like moms with really young kids. It's really hard to find a rhythm and a schedule, or people with crazy work schedules or maybe medical conditions that cause that to be hard for some people. You just kind of mentioned a few tips. Is there any other advice that you have for people who are trying to get into these daily rhythms?
Well, I would say this. I think that actually, I am very unstructured when it comes to this stuff. I'm very open-ended. I like to go into my day, and drives my wife crazy, but not have a plan. I mean, my natural sense is I'm going to keep everything open-ended and just take things on the fly. So I've had to work at being a little more structured, and I'm not nearly as structured as some people. I've had to add it in. And I guess I would say, and I don't want to be trite, everybody's rhythm is going to look a little bit different, but everybody can do it. And the reality is that no matter what our schedule is, we do have rhythms.
Sure.
We eat, you know, it maybe isn't always at the same time. We do go to bed. We get dressed. You know, there are things that we do regularly. And so the issue, I think, is not, oh my goodness, my schedule is such that I can't do this, or it's just too hard. It's, okay, this is my schedule. This is my life. Now, what are the things that are important, and how do I put them in here? And it may look radically different than mine or someone else's. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to be trite. I recognize that it is more difficult sometimes, and sometimes we have to do things that maybe are outside of our natural personality, or they're not real easy. But again, we do that because these things are important. And so, so my advice is sit down. I did this with my son. Sit down. Let's chart out your day. What do you do from the time you get up to the time you go to bed? What do you do? And is that what you want to be doing? And what might you need to change here? And what that looks like for you or for you is going to look different, I think.
Yeah. And I would, I think it's some of it is a priority piece, I think.
Sure.
I didn't become consistent about having my devotions daily until I decided I was going to become consistent about having daily devotions. Now, one of the things you touch on is, what about for those people who can't? Again, I think they can. It's just there needs to be flexibility in terms of what that looks like.
Right.
I think sometimes what happens is we get this idea, okay, I want to read my Bible every day. And so we think I need 2 hours that is uninterrupted
in the morning
with coffee, you know, in my three season porch. I mean, so we get this picture, we get this Thomas Kincaid painting of what we think our quiet time should look like.
Yeah.
And that's just, that's not reality for most people. It's what works for you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a young mom who carries around 3 verses on a note card,
right,
and she when she's feeding or she's washing, she's pulling them out and thinking about them,
right,
talking to God about those.
Yep.
Finding what time of day works best for you. Rob and I are both morning people. We do this best in the morning. Matt Novacek is not a morning guy.
Right.
He's
right.
going to do it better in the evening.
Right.
I mean, it depends on who you are.
Yeah.
But I think one of the first things we need to do is kill that idol of perfection in terms of what this looks like,
right,
and just do something.
Yeah.
Knowing that it may change over time. My devotional times still do change over time, depending on you know, sometimes I'm reading huge chunks of scripture and sometimes I'm reading a couple verses and stopping and saying, yeah, this is really just stirring me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's about relationship with God. It's not about getting perfect in discipline.
And I think that that carries over to all of these things. You know, that's one rhythm, that
right.
that relational time with God. And I agree 100%. But I think it goes to these other things as well, like, you know, okay, I need to move my body. I want to get into the habit mm-hmm. of, you know, having some kind of physical movement. Well, again, we think, okay, what that means is I'm going to get a membership to the gym. I'm going to, you know, next year I'm going to run the Boston Marathon, or I'm going to run mm-hmm. every day for an hour or something like that. And I can remember when Sue had little kids, you know, sometimes it's you go out and you walk around the house five times. That, mm-hmm. That's it, because that's right. all you got. And that's okay. And right. and so I really think that that's true. Here's one thing I would say too. Someone asked me this on Sunday and he said, if you're not a structured person, how do you become a structured person? And that's a big question, but here's my honest answer. It's start with one thing.
Right.
Don't try to impose this mammoth amount of structure. And I find one thing. Okay, what's the one thing I want to build in now? And then spend the next 6 months to a year building that one thing in. And that's
There's
enough.
No hurry.
There's no
right.
hurry here. This is a very long-term process. And if a year from now you're better at that one thing, well, you are on the way. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
And God, I think, is honored by that, and your life is moving in that direction. And what happens is over time it gets a little bit easier. It's like anything else. You know, you work at something and it gets better. But start with one thing and say, it's going to take me a year to figure this out.
And another piece that sometimes comes with this, and this is not meant to be a guilt-inducing thing, but look at what other rhythms already exist. Most people don't have a problem checking Facebook every day.
Sure.
I mean, that's not a problem for most people. Why is that? Because they find it interesting and engaging. Okay, so that's one rhythm that's already there. Does that mean that it's possible to have other rhythms? Yep, but it'll take some practice. Patience with yourself. Again, as Rob hinted at, you're not going to go out and run a marathon tomorrow.
Yeah.
You may be able to run to the corner and back. And that's good.
Yeah.
Start there. Start where you're at.
And when you say that, it reminds me, I think at different times in my life, if there were rhythms that I wanted to create, I would tie them to rhythms that I already got happening.
Yeah, like absolutely.
I've said the story when I first started working as a lawyer, when the phone would ring, I'd be terrified because someone was going to ask me a question that I didn't know the answer to. So I got into the habit of every time the phone rang, as I reached for it, I'd say, God, help me to know what in the world I'm talking about here. And so that's just, I would tie one rhythm to another existing rhythm, and it helps make them happen.
Yep.
That's really good advice. Who knew that good advice would have come out of this podcast?
Who knew?
As you guys were talking about that, I was thinking, like, one of the things that's hardest for me isn't necessarily coming up with the idea for the, like, I can idealize things a lot of times, like you said, and then I get frustrated when it doesn't look the way that I expect it to. But I also, I really like to know what to expect out of my day. So like you said, Rob, you like to keep things open-ended and flexible. I don't like that at all. That is
yeah.
just the worst. And so I'd like to have my day scheduled down to the minute, but even when that's possible, it's never possible.
Right.
And then I get really frustrated and totally thrown off
yeah.
when there's any kind of deviation from the schedule.
Yeah.
And so that's not the answer either.
No, that's not the answer either. No. And in all of this, the reality is that these rhythms are going to get messed up.
Sloppy even.
Yeah. And they get bumped, and they get, and our days don't work the way we want them to. Sometimes they do. You know, we all have those days where you look back and think, man, that was kind of like the perfect day. And then you have those days where you look back and think, oh my gosh, that was a total disaster start to finish. And that's going to happen. But I think that, like so many other things, and this is where God, I love being a Christian, because I can work hard and this stuff can be terribly important, and I can give it my best, and if I completely fail, I'm going to go to sleep, and tomorrow God's going to be standing there by the bed, and we're going to get up and we're going to try again. And that is one of the most joyful things in my life, that, okay, God, yesterday, whether it went great or poorly or kind of in the middle, you're excited to take my hand, and we'll do it again today.
Right.
And that's just, I think that's what Paul meant when he said, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on toward what's ahead. I can learn from yesterday, but that's all. And today, God, we're going to try again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. So we have a couple minutes left, I think, maybe. I just want to pull back a little bit. So this, I think this particular teaching is kind of a good little microcosm of the whole, you know, everyday value menu kind of series. But as we think about the series as a whole, as we're wrapping it up, we kind of, again, we've been mentioning things like this throughout throughout this recording, but if this is all new to somebody, you know, if maybe they're a new Christian or maybe they just have never, you know, thought about the ideas of, you know, the everyday values of parenting and money and marriage and daily rhythms and stuff, the thing that we always say is, you know, start with reading your Bible and praying. Apart from that, is there, you know, if this is all totally new to somebody and they don't know where to start, is there a good place that, again, I know it's going to vary from person to person, but is there something that you would think that they could start here?
You know, I think that probably varies some from person to person. I think ask people who know you well what might be things that could be beneficial.
Sure.
But again, start small. You know, I think that can be, we touched on the prayer and word idea. I think those are important. But maybe it is, maybe that rhythm, that starting is, I'm going to get to bed at the same time, roughly every night.
Ish.
Yeah, right. You know, and, maybe it's something that small.
Yeah.
Maybe it is, I am going to actually remember to pray each time before I eat. Just something small. Start small. Yeah. And that would be my advice, I think, regardless of what somebody picks, to start yeah, small.
I would agree. Start small and expect to fail.
Yeah.
You're going to, the reason you have to work at it is because you're bad at it. And you're not going to just suddenly become good at it because you want to.
Right.
Start small with one thing and expect, I'm going to fail at this yeah. way more than I'm going to succeed at this. And that's okay. I think right. people, you know, when well, they'll yeah. find something and they'll start. That's why New Year's resolutions don't last into February. Because,
absolutely.
Okay, this is a good idea and I want to do it.
Yep.
And then you try to do it and you don't do it well.
Yep.
And then you quit.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to do it well, but don't quit.
That prompts another thought for me. I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I do pick a word that I think about through the whole year.
Hmm.
So the first time I did it, my word was gentleness. And then the next year was kindness. This year, my word is presence. And it's just something that I carry with me, and it helps me think about how am I interacting with God, how am I interacting with others, and it's just something that I can put into place.
I would maybe, I'm probably breaking the rule here, but I can't help myself. I don't think you can separate any of these rhythms from the rhythm of time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you said other than reading and praying. Let me say this. If that habit is not there, I would suggest that maybe that's the first one that you need to try to work on. If you are having, you know, some consistent times with God and you want to build other ones, well, a great thing to do is to just make that part of your time with God. Ask Him, what do I need to put mm-hmm. into my life? Make that part of your prayer. And as I've discovered over the years that if there's something I'm asking God about, and I just say, you know, Lord, what are the rhythms I need to have in my life, or what are the habits I need to have? Then when I read, it's like, oh, look at there. And God will bring things out. So making mm-hmm. that part of my already built-in rhythm with God will help me to know what to do. And it'll give me the ability, I think, to do it well.
Yeah, otherwise forward. You're building your house on sand.
Yeah,
you really
and
are.
Yeah, it's yeah. You can have the greatest rhythms in the world, and if you're not spending time with the Lord, exactly, yeah. it's going to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good advice. Thank you, both of you, very much for your thoughts and your wisdom and experience in these things, and for your teachings this weekend. Very much appreciate it. That will about do it for us for this week, I think. So we're going to wrap it up. So that was the end of the Everyday Value Menu series. Starting this coming weekend, we are starting a new series here at Cedar Creek on...
True, Good, and Beautiful, God and the Gospel.
All right. So, listeners, I hope you can join us here at Cedar Creek this weekend for the first of those teachings, Friday night at 7 p.m. or Sunday morning at 9 and 10:45 a.m. If not, the recordings will be available online. And we will be back next week to talk about the first teaching on the Perspectives podcast. So we will see you then. Until then, have a great week.
Thanks, Ben.
Music for this podcast provided by DNK via freemusicarchive.org.